This is Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we just observed yesterday on Shabbos the second yahrzeit of my father, Alav HaShalom, Avi Mori Meir Ben Yitzchak Dov. And I made a few remarks which are in effect an extension of my first on my drush earlier this year on the occasion of my father-in-law, Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef Chaim, or Yaakov Ben Chaim Yosef. So I'd like to record those ideas to supplement my earlier remarks. There are many themes in the Haggadah, but one of them is really enunciated by the Rasha, the so-called wicked son, who makes the remarks Ma avodah hazot lachem. And what is this service? What does this service mean to you? And on a first glance, it's very hard to see why the Haggadah deals so harshly with the wicked son, because the Chacham, the wise son, had just made the remark Maha Edut Etchem. If you look at it, he said, what are these testimonies, ha'edut v'ha'chukim v'ha'mishpatim, the testimonies and the decrees and the laws which God, our God, has commanded us, what are they to you? The Rashi said, what is this service to you? One used the word etchem, the other used the word lachem. I'm not sure I see a great difference. Obviously, though, the Chacham said, Asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu, which our God has commanded us, and already, therefore, he is identifying with the God of Israel. He's saying it's his God, and he's clearly within the realm of halacha. And furthermore, he is already acknowledging that halacha has a certain structure. There are edut and chukim and mishpatim. There are testimonies, there are decrees, and there are laws. And each is a category unto itself and has to be understood as a separate category from the others. And therefore, halacha has a certain structure, a certain logic to it, which has to be delved into and understood. And so that's why the answer of the Haggadah is V'af af ata emolo kilchot ha-pesach, and so you answer him according to the laws of Pesach, because you don't have to get into any involved cosmological investigations or philosophical investigations into the foundations of Yiddishkeit, because he accepts the premises from the beginning. But the wicked son, the Haggadah tells us, that he took himself out of the klal. He doesn't see himself as part of klal Yisrael. So then, because of that, he's kafah b'ikar. It means that he denies the basic fundamentals of Judaism. Even this statement, this response of the Haggadah to the Rasha, is a little hard to understand at first glance, because the Rasha didn't go out and murder anybody, he didn't steal, he wasn't violent, he just went off on his own. Maybe he'd be, instead of observing the laws of Shabbat, let's say he takes his family out on a Saturday and Sunday, they go to play tennis, have a family outing. I know there are many families who do this, they're not necessarily Jewish, but there are people who spend their Sundays doing some activity as a family. I've seen it on the tennis courts, where the children are literally brought up on the tennis courts, and I think it's really a wonderful thing for people who have the time and can do it. And the family is together, and the children are learning to do an activity in a at least a semi-professional level, if not on a professional level, where they're not only doing a sport, but they're doing it with a fair amount of expertise and in a family setting. So what's wrong if somebody goes off and does their thing, whatever it is, whatever hobby it may be, and so they're not part of the Jewish people? And I think really that's really the question in order to understand why the Haggadah treats the Rasha, the wicked son, so severely. So the answer that the Haggadah gives, v'af atahake etchinav, you should either break his teeth or blunt his sharpness, however you want to translate it, v'emalo, and you should say to him, ba'avor zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeitim m'mitzrayim, because of this, of what Hashem did for me in taking me out of Egypt. Or I should translate it, because of this Hashem took me out of Egypt. And I won't go into what Zeh is at this point or what this is. But the answer that the Haggadah gives to the wicked son at this juncture is really a one-line excerpt from a more extended answer later on in the Haggadah. Because later on we have the words, B'chol Dovador, in every generation, Chayav Adam Lerot Et Atzmo, a man is obligated to see himself, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzah Mim Mitzrayim, as if he himself came out of Egypt. Shene'emah, as it says, V'higatet Alevincha Be'yom Ahu, and you should tell your son on that day, Le'mor, telling him, Ba'avor Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'tzeitim Mim Mitzrayim, because of this Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, Lo et avotenu bilvad ga'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem didn't redeem just our fathers, ela afotanu ga'al imahem, but we too, together with them, were redeemed. Shene'emah, as it says, v'otanu hotzi misham, it is us who he took out of there, l'mahna avi otanu letet lanu et ha'aretz asher nishba la'avotenu, in order to bring us into the land which he has sworn to our fathers. And elsewhere in the Haggadah, it does say that if we were not redeemed, if our fathers had not been redeemed from Egypt, then we to this day would still have been slaves in the land of Egypt. V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu et avotenu mimitzrayim, harei anu uvanenu uvanei vanenu mushubadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. We still would have been slaves to Paro in Egypt had our fathers not been redeemed. So I think through the very words of the Haggadah, we can begin to understand that the real problem with the Rasha was not simply that he was poresh minha tzibur, that he separated himself from the group, which is Klal Yisrael, because on a first-level basis, a prima facie look at it, you'd say, what's so terrible? He wants to go out on his own and do his own thing. But we know from the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, in Perek Gimel, that he says that among those people who ain lahem chelek li'olam haba, who don't have a share in the world to come, among those is HaPoresh Min HaTzibur, those who dissociate themselves from the Tzibur. So now, we are not talking about people who are ignorant or who are in the category of HaTinok Shenishba B'Goyim, children who are kidnapped by the Goyim and therefore they grow up in ignorance of Judaism and therefore they cannot be held responsible for their actions or for their indifference or hostility to Yiddishkeit. And I think that's true of the majority of Americans today, that they are in the category of Tino Kanishba Bagoyim, as children who are kidnapped by a non-Jew. And therefore we are not talking about them. But somebody who has some knowledge of halacha, some knowledge of Torah, and then willingly separates and from the klal, this is the person that the Haggadah is dealing with so severely and saying that You have to hakei et shinav, you have to just break his teeth, and then give him the appropriate answer. But in retrospect, what the Haggadah is telling us is it's not just the act of poresh min hatzibur that is so despicable in the eyes of Torah, but rather it is the act of kifui tova, covering up good, which is the ultimate problem here. Because what we're saying is, had your fathers not been redeemed from the land of Egypt, then you would, at this point in time, still have been a slave in the land of Egypt. And therefore you are covering up good. You are not recognizing the good that Hashem has done to you, in as much as your fathers had been redeemed from the land of Israel. And the very act of breaking off from feeling a part of the Jewish people results in this act of kifui tova, of covering up of good. And with that explanation, we can then understand how the Haggadah continues continues to say, Lefichach, and therefore, Anachnu chayavim lehodot, lehalel, leshabech, lefa'er. We are required to praise and to glorify ulerameim, and to lift up lahadel lavarech laaleil kales lemisha asa ala avotenu velanu et kol hanisim ha'elu. We are required to glorify He who has done all of these miracles to our fathers and to us, that He took us out of slavery, hotzianu mi'avdut lechevut, into freedom, miyagon lesimcha, from agony and suffering into rejoicing, me'evel liyom tov, from a state of mourning to a state of being in a yom tov, in a holiday atmosphere, u'me'afela le'or, from darkness to light, le'or gadol, mishibud le'ugula, from slavery to redemption, v'namalafanav shira chadasha, and therefore we should say before him a new song. It is with this understanding of the sin, or the transgression of the wicked son, if you will, and the severity with which the Haggadah treats him, that then we can begin to understand another mitzvah related to the Seder. And it's, according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's in his Sefer HaMitzvot, it's mitzvah number 147. Kuf Nun Zayin, Hatzivu Shinatzdavinu L'saper B'yitzat B'tziyat Mitzrayim B'leil Tesvav B'nisan, that we are required to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, if you will, on the night of the 15th of Nisan, B'tchilat HaLaila, at the beginning of the night, Kafitzachot Lashon HaMasapeah, according to the ability or the clarity of the one who is speaking. And then the Rambam goes on to add, and L'ulahodot Lo, and to praise Hashem, Yitale Al Kol HaChesed Asher Gamalanu, because ulahodot lo yitaleh al kol hachesed asher gamalanu, because of all the kindness which He has bestowed upon us. So we now see clearly that the requirement of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim goes hand in hand with the concept of Hakarat HaTov, which is the very thing on which the wicked son, if you will, trips up on. Because we are required to tell the story of the leaving of Egypt in order to praise Hashem and to be Hakarat HaTov, to have recognition to Hashem for the good that He has done to us, the Jewish people. And this act of Tzipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is different in kind from another mitzvah which we have, which is Zechel Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because every Friday night, every Shabbos, we are required to remember the leaving of Egypt, that Zechel Yetziat Mitzrayim, and indeed there are those who say that it's a mitzvah every day to remember the leaving of Egypt. There are actually Sheis Zechirot, which are mentioned at the end of the Siddur, six different items which we are required to remember every day of the year, and among these is Yetziat Mitzrayim, Zechel Yetziat Mitzrayim, the remembering the leaving of Egypt. But it's just stam, it's just remembering. There are no other concomitants around this act, just that we have to mention in words with our mouths the concept that we did leave Egypt and have a recognition of this. But Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the telling of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, is of a different order and a different kind altogether. Because the Rambam goes on in explaining this mitzvah in mitzvah 147, that you might have thought I could perform the act of Tzipur Yetziat Mitzrayim at any time, maybe from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then following the Gemara, he says, no, because it says Bayom Ahu, I have to do it on that day. Well, maybe it could have been that day, meaningly Erev Pesach, but it doesn't have to be on Erev Pesach itself. It could have been during the day before Pesach began. So he goes on to stress, no, it's on that day, b'sha'ah, at the time, sheyesh matzah u'morah munachim lefanecha, at the time that matzah and morah are before you, and obviously that is the time of the Seder, and not beforehand. So there's a special time at which the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim must be performed, and you can't do it early and you can't do it later. It must be done right at that time when you have matzah and morah before you at the Seder table. And this explains also an earlier passage that we have in the Haggadah where it says, V'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zakenim. Even if we were all wise and all full of wisdom and understanding, kulonu yodim et haTorah, we knew every aspect of the Torah, mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yetzat mitzrayim, it's still a mitzvah to perform the telling, to engage in the telling of Yetziat Mitzrayim, b'chol hamabal lesaper b'yetziat mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach, anybody who extends and embellishes the telling of the leaving of Egypt, the entire story and all of the details, this person is to be praised. And the reason for this is because the author of the Haggadah is asking us to do a dramatic rendition of the leaving of Egypt, so that the greatness of the event will become vivid in the minds of all the participants at the Seder table. And the reason for the dramatic presentation which is required has nothing to do with being a brilliant Talmud Chacham or for knowing the Torah backwards and forwards, but rather to make the event of the leaving of Egypt almost a present reality, so that we ourselves will feel as if we had benefited directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and were redeemed along with our forefathers. With such a vivid presentation, we will be able to better perform the act of Hakarat HaTov, recognizing Hashem's good, which He has done both to our forefathers and to us in redeeming us from Egypt. And with this, you can better understand the insertion of the Hallel in the Haggadah, because really, it's an anomaly. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't follow any of the usual restrictions we have about the saying of Hallel. Because normally, Hallel is said during the day, and it's said with a bracha, and it's said standing, and it's said without any interruptions. And women are exempt from saying Hallel because it's a mitzvah she has man grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. And yet here at the Seder table, we say it at night. We say it without a bracha. We say it sitting at the table, and we interrupt with a festive meal. And apparently, women are also obligated to say the Hallel at the Seder table. And we know this because women are obligated in the four cups. And if they're obligated to drink four cups, and each cup is meant to be attached to one of the four sections of the Seder, the four sections being Kiddush, and then Magid, and then we bench afterwards. So there's a kos shel bracha on the benching after the festive meal, and finally we have a fourth cup, which is for the conclusion of the Hallel. So we know then that if women are obligated for arba kosos, for four cups, they are also obligated in completing the Hallel at the Seder table. So it seems a bit of an anomaly until we realize that according to the Sadia Gaon, there are two types of Hallel. We can say Hallel b'torat kriya, a Hallel in the category of kriya, and then there's a Hallel b'torat shira, a Hallel in the category of song, if you will. And apparently the Hallel b'torat kriya, the reading of Hallel, that is what we say in shul, in the morning, in the daytime, with a bracha, standing, and without any interruptions. And that makes a lot of sense. But Torah Shira, we have Shira at the time of a miracle, B'sha'at HaNes. When a miracle happens to somebody, he is required to respond with Hallel. And that Hallel is a spontaneous response to being saved by Hashem in a miraculous way, and it does not require a bracha, and it does not have to be said during the day, and apparently it doesn't even have to be said standing, and you can have interruptions if they are relevant interruptions. In this case, a festive meal would be a relevant interruption. And therefore, we begin to see how Hallel becomes an integral part of the process of the Seder, in which we are performing the mitzvah of Hakarat HaTov, of recognizing Hashem's goodness in redeeming us from slavery, the slavery in Egypt. Just one other point in this regards is that the Seuda, the meal that which we eat at the Seder table, is a Seuda Hoda'a. It's a Thanksgiving meal. And being in that category, then it's certainly appropriate that it be surrounded by Hallel both before and afterwards, and that the two go hand in hand. And therefore we can begin to understand why Hallel is interrupted, because it's not really an interruption. The Seuda is an integral part of the festive atmosphere and the expression of gratitude to Hashem for taking us out of the land of Egypt.